Advertising your business with GCN is simple, effective,
and more affordable than you might think.
Visit advertise.gcnlive.com for more info.
The yeas are 74, the nays are 20. The motion is agreed to.
All right, were you panicked? Did you think that was some kind of an impeachment vote? Of course not. It's just an inquiry, so calm down. The testimony continued, if you will. But that was the Senate rolling forward on what is, of course, our budget. Yes, the budget, lost in everything else that is happening, is gone. And that's a good thing because, you know, you look and see at how time is all of a sudden ratcheting up because we're at the holidays. Hey, everybody, Kate Delaney. What else is ticking besides impeachment? We're actually going to talk about a few other things as well. But there were a couple of big witnesses on the Hill today who were once again not the big dog, and the big dog, of course, being John Bolton, but they were there connected and in the middle of what's happening related to this situation. Surrounding the July 25th phone call between the President of the Ukraine and the President of the United States, and what will ultimately this mean for these United States of America and you, my friends, because it is your taxpayer dollars at work right here while all of this is going on. And Republicans are saying that this is entrapment and that this is highly exaggerated, etc., while the Democrats are saying, listen, it's there, it's not hearsay, and no matter which place you turn, you can find evidence that is showing us that. I'm simplifying it because I could get, you know, down and mixed into so much of the conversation, and you can hear that conversation in the background, but it's hours and hours and 2 weeks and massive amounts of documents and testimony and all of that. So Republican lawmakers on the Hill are working with the White House to prepare for what they say is the likely Senate impeachment trial. Nobody's saying it out loud, but this is happening in the background. And it's all focusing around the idea that allows Democrats to lay out their evidence, you know, might be the best course of action to protect the president. That's supposedly what the deal is. Lawmakers are discussing that Republicans should allow Democrats to make their case, with the timeline of the 2 weeks being thrown out as a potential estimate for how long that process could take. But who knows? That's not written in stone. The Thursday meeting included the White House counsel, a group of Republican senators that included Mike Lee of Utah, John Kennedy from Louisiana, Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, Tom Cotton from Arkansas, Ted Cruz from Texas, and they were speaking about how this Senate trial should be conducted if the House votes to impeach the president. And this was more like a, I guess, listening mode meeting. It didn't get a lot of coverage, although there were some things written about it. And there were discussions on how to deal also with the whistleblower whose complaint, of course, launched the impeachment inquiry in the first place. Republican lawmakers argued that the White House shouldn't fixate on the individual or even push for them to be called to testify. That's where that is. In the meantime, the focus for the impeachment inquiry on the day surrounded especially one person, Fiona Hill, a former White House advisor on Russia, and David Holmes, a senior staffer at the U.S. Embassy in the Ukraine. They were the two that testified, and Hill pretty much said, she did say that she could see the tension with John Bolton over some things that had happened surrounding the word investigations, because that's what they keep calling it, investigations. And Hill pretty much kind of answered what the hearsay back and forth tug of war that's been volleyed about on the Hill. She kind of answered that question because, you know, she talked about that in her role, she was there and connected to Sondland and said that Gordon Sondland, who was the ambassador to the European Union, was pretty upset about her role in the administration, about her superiors, about the president. She said, she said that she was frustrated, but she was very, very steady and just, you know, answered all the questions that were thrown her way. She said that about the situation, that she said she predicted would end badly, is what she told Sondland. She said he was being involved in a domestic political errand and we were being involved in a national security foreign policy, and those two things had just diverged. She said, I had not put my finger on that at the moment, but I was irritated with him and angry with him that he wasn't fully coordinating. And she said to him, Ambassador Sondland, I think this is all going to blow up. And she said, here we are. It all blew up. And that was the gist of it. And then she talked about Rudy Giuliani and the fact that it was basically a hand grenade that he was in the middle of what was happening with him. She didn't mention the two, I call them the thugs, but the two thugs that were in the middle of what was happening in the Ukraine, and then the pressure for these investigations into the Bidens and the Ukrainian president. This is obviously the heart of all of this. And the president is saying that they couldn't possibly know what the phone call said, and that there is no impeachment. But in the meantime, they're definitely getting ready for what will happen in the Senate. I say this every single time I'm on the air. The bottom line is, if you're looking for what is the outcome of what's happening, the outcome most likely is that the president is not removed unless Republicans go in a different direction, because you weight the amount of Republicans in the Senate, and we know what the numbers are, and then you look at the House, and you even have Democrats who have not publicly said even whether they'll vote for impeachment. But is this must-see TV? The numbers have shown that people are watching it and are interested in it. I said this before, this is your taxpayer dollars at work. This is the leader of the free world. There are a lot of people talking about it. But is it another one of those, what I call, ring around the political rosy, where the idea it seems as though, oh yes, there's this evidence, and look at Benjamin Netanyahu, and he's being taken down in Israel for bribery and fraud and a couple of other things that he was indicted on. But this is a different scenario, and it comes down to our process, and this is only the fourth time we have ever even been through this process. So does this president survive, thrive, and win another election, or is this curtains for him when it comes to the election process? Even if he survives this unscathed, we have an unofficial poll going. I've got some of those results. I'm going to hit those up next. Hang with us.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with Reputation Defender. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with Reputation Defender. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771. For your free reputation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with Reputation Defender. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now, anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.
Things that popped up on my radar screen and probably yours too. As you know, I dive into other things that happen around the country that we're talking about. I think the focus of the show is you, me, and everybody in between. We know we all have different opinions, politically speaking, right of right, left of left, somewhere in between, no labels, tired of the labels, independent, used to be this, used to be that. I mean, I hear that from more people than you can imagine. I'm going to leave you with one last thing. Here is what Fiona Hill, she's trying to boil down all this gobbledygook from you from earlier today. Here's what Fiona Hill had to say that I think was the big pullout of the day.
I'd asked if there was anything that we could do about it, and Ambassador Bolton had looked pained, basically indicated with body language that there was nothing which we could do about it, and he then, in the course of that discussion, said that Rudy Giuliani was a hand grenade that was going to blow everyone up.
All right, there you go. Rudy Giuliani is a hand grenade that was going to blow everyone up. I think Rudy G is the one that takes a big, giant fall. He, of course, has lawyers. He is a former lawyer, as you all know. And what will come out of this will certainly surround Rudy Giuliani. I would be stunned if there's nothing that sticks to him. And I mean really sticks to him. And she said it there. She was talking about the investigations because what the president said is, Rudy handles it. Let Rudy talk to Rudy. Talk to Rudy. That's what kept coming up again and again and again. And she just verified that. All right, we move on to what I said is part of the other discussions that are going on. Anytime we see something that happens with a plane, we all take a pause. But especially when you see video of a plane's engine starting to spit flames mid-flight, that gives you a really big, big pause. And there was somebody that was on the plane sitting next to his little girl. It was a Philippine Airlines flight headed for Manila from L.A. at airport there, the big airport, LAX. And as soon as they took off, there was this possible engine failure shortly after the takeoff. So they circled back down. This was a big plane, of course, and got down luckily and got all the people off of the flight and had the hoses out. That is the good news there. But it's pretty scary to see it. And it's that moment where you think, if you're on that plane and you're hearing that pop sound and you're watching that, what would that moment be like? How frightening would it be, right? My grandmother used to say we're all stamped with expiration dates, and so why focus on that? But when you're in a terrifying situation, you're not thinking about expiration dates in that sense. You are thinking, holy God, please. You are saying every prayer and thinking of everything you possibly can say. Get this plane on the ground. And especially when you see in the video, this is radio, picture a gorgeous young little girl, whole life in front of her, and the father wasn't shooting the engine because he saw the engine. He was initially shooting her, and then that happened, and his camera phone, obviously, the ability to grab that video was there, and he had that, just moved on to that, and that was pretty scary. A couple of other things that also are popping up on the radar, too, and that includes this, that there are two big storms that could get in your way of your Thanksgiving, because here we are, this time next week will be Thanksgiving, gobble, gobble, and have happy Thanksgiving if nobody said it yet, because we're almost there. But according to AAA, 50 million people are expected to hit the roads, rails, skies, you name it. Two big storms might slow your roll. Yeah, two big storms. And we're talking, of course, the Northeast is embroiled in the middle of that, the Midwest also there. If I were going to put on my weather cap, low pressure is pushing east of the Rockies on Tuesday, then a quick round of snow to the plains, then it strengthens, jams up over the Midwest where the main aim will be. Chicago has rain on Tuesday afternoon, then snow. Snow should be out by Wednesday morning. Wisconsin, Michigan, heavy snow. And then you've got temperatures from 5 to 15 degrees, so much of the Midwest is going to have some nice highs, but not those areas. And Thanksgiving, it should be pretty dry, but getting there before Thanksgiving is what the key thing is, because so many people travel on Wednesday and so many other people travel on Tuesday. And I don't know if you get up early. I get up early and I watch the Macy's parade. I will not be there. I will be in a much warmer climate. But the Macy's parade, the temperatures will be a little bit chilly, so you may see people bundled up, and you can see their breath probably right in front of them. They say when it starts out, the parade would be in the low 40s, and the winds would be up to like 15 miles an hour. But look, this travel thing, it's the second highest number of travels in at least a decade. They're predicting an increase, AAA is, of 1.6 million travelers compared to last year. People are driving. And why do you think that is? Because of lower gas prices. And Wednesday is congestion day, so beware in your hood, wherever it is, whether it's, even if it's small rural area, you know what that still can be like. I love when people say, well, I live in a small town, and then you try to drive through that small town. Austin, Texas used to be a small town, and of course they're building a $1 billion facility there and adding a bunch of jobs. Apple is, but the road situation is terrible. It's not like driving in a small town. So, of course, Atlanta, Los Angeles, New York, Boston, Houston, San Francisco, I mean, they're going to see three times the normal traffic on Wednesday. But don't think because you live in an area that is supposedly a little bit smaller that it's not going to be as trafficked up as some of the bigger spots, because that would be a mistake to think that. And plus, you have everybody running around doing errands, right? You're getting whatever it is, eggnog, getting last minute cranberries or something else that you got to throw into the mix for a turkey day. I mean, what makes a great turkey day? And we'll talk about that coming up in the beginning of the week. What is your favorite dish that you just really, really want? And that's the problem when you hop around for Thanksgiving. You have well-meaning friends and surrogate families, and of course you're grateful and you eat whatever's on the table. But I think the traditions, no matter how old you are, roll around in your head, and it's that certain kind of pumpkin pie. It's the way the turkey was made. It's the stuffing. It's the side dishes. It's the turkey itself. It's something that's not a turkey because you didn't eat turkey on Thanksgiving, whatever it is. And it's hard to, I think it's hard to replace that because you have this idea in your head of what you're, I mean, of what you're expecting, I guess, is the way to say that. If I were in San Francisco, I would not be expecting this, although because I've read this story and I'm aware of it, yikes. The city of San Francisco, they say, could be drawing on a new source of drinking water, and it's a recycled version of what's being flushed down on the toilets. And some of that water is already being served up. So the San Francisco Public Utilities Building is very green, and you could say, yay, well, bravo. It opened in 2012, and for years they've been recycling their wastewater for things like flushing the toilets, and they're saying now that water can be consumed. I don't know. Do I want to know that? I'm just saying, is that my ignorance? Is that ridiculous to say that? Is this a great thing that they're recycling the water? I'm sure it is. I would actually love to see how they do that, but they got like 900 employees, and in the bottom of the buildings, in the bottom of the building, they have equipment that treats the wastewater. So this is how it works. It was fascinating when I read the story. The rain falls on the roof. Picture this. The rain falls on the roof. Water comes out of the bathroom that has been getting a first wash through the building's wetland system, they call it, and it can actually be seen in the lobby. Then it's carried over to the threshold of the drinkable, and they start with the recycled water, and that's the water that comes into the system. They put it through what they call ultra filtration. Then they put it through reverse osmosis. That's the second step. Then they put it through the UV distribution. That's how they do it. Wow. And then they have another step, the distribution disinfection. And then it isn't tasted for safety, but they have a record of everything that comes out. The water is so stripped down by the time they're done, they would actually need minerals to be put into the actual water system. Isn't that fascinating? I don't know. Maybe I do want to know it. Maybe I don't. I think it's wild that they're doing it, and there's more places that say they're going to do the same thing. Stay with us.
Every day we take steps to keep the people we love safe, but some health risks are easy to miss. Ticks hiding in the yard can spread germs, like the ones that cause Lyme disease. Mice searching for food can spread bacteria that makes us sick. Mosquitoes lay eggs in standing water and can spread West Nile virus and more. Cockroaches are drawn to water in the home, leaving behind allergens that can trigger asthma attacks. Common pests can threaten our health. Learn how to protect your family at pestworld.org.
Would you like to get back that full head of hair from years past? Now, there is Reveal. Beverly Hills celebrity dermatologist Dr. Nathan Newman took nearly a decade to develop Reveal from natural botanicals to return to a full body head of hair. Reveal for men and women with a 30-day money-back guarantee at GCNLife.com or toll-free 844-443-6637. 844-443-6637. Reveal at GCNLife.com.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Visit GCNLive.com today.
You- USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Navy Secretary Richard Spencer has been fired for allegedly proposing a deal with the White House behind Defense Secretary Mark Esper's back to resolve a matter involving a Navy SEAL. In his resignation letter, Richard Spencer says the most important responsibility he has is to maintain good order and discipline in the ranks, and he no longer shares that understanding with the Commander-in-Chief. Defense Secretary Mark Esper asked for Spencer's resignation, saying he'd lost trust and confidence. The controversy involves Navy Chief Officer Edward Gallagher, who was convicted of posing with the corpse of a dead teenager. Gallagher was demoted, but President Trump restored his rank. Hong Kong protesters took a pause to go to the polls. People showed up in record numbers voting in municipal elections that are widely viewed as a referendum on the pro-democracy movement. This is USA Radio News.
Hey travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part, Sunny Bay quality products start at under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
Just walk away, pretending everything.
In this edition of Author's Corner, you're going to love this. In fact, it's going to make you want to have this adventure, I think. John Timms joins us, and he joins us from England. And he's written a book called Should I Go Walkabout in Australia, A Motorhome Adventure. And it's funny because I know a lot of you have always wanted to do that, go off the grid, so to speak, and get a motorhome. In fact, that's on my bucket list. John, thank you so much for joining us.
Okay.
So let's talk about your the reason you wrote the book and what you told me off the air. Why did you write the book, and what was that like, the writing process?
Well, I didn't necessarily write it. Lisa wrote it. She read it in a diary form while we were on the road in our RV. By the way, we had an American motorhome because we got like the space in it, an old one, 11 years old, 12 years old. So. She wrote this in diary form, day by day, and sent it to our friends on email. And they'd get upset if she got behind. You know, so she became a bit of a chore for her after a while. Anyway, she died suddenly at 65, and I discovered her. She'd put it onto the computer. So I thought, right, she always wanted to write a book. She's always been a bit of a writer. And I thought, well, in her memory, I'll push it out with the author house. So that's what I've done. And together with photographs, it turned into three diaries because we did over a total of about 3 years travelling around Australia in about three different trips. and all sorts of things went wrong, etc., etc. It wasn't the glamour you'd expect at times, and that's hence the title. She's about, she didn't really want to go, but she knew how I'm a travel bug, and I wanted to go, and I've retired, and I wanted to see Australia in a proper style and take our time, so that's what happened. And so I found these diaries, and I've edited them, put photographs in, and pushed them out, okay?
Yeah, I love that. So again, because of Lisa writing these, and she was obviously such an interesting and gifted writer, your friends were all about your adventure. And you talked about going walkabout in a couple of different areas, obviously going back to Australia a couple of different times. And you and I talked about this off the air. Of course, Murphy's Law, you said it wasn't quite as glamorous as you thought. Tell us one of your funny stories.
Well, first of all, if you diary one, page one, shows we lost each other on the first day. I always recommend anybody that buys this book, read page one on diary one, because it sets the form for the whole thing. And then, of course, on the first day off, we go to stop for a cup of coffee at the side of the road. Nothing works. I thought, oh, dear, that's a good start. Then I wander around trying to find connections. Luckily, I found a relay popping out under my bonnet, so I pushed that in, and everything worked after that. And then, of course, we got to the caravan park, a casino. Our first night camping, we had practice getting the awning out the day before, but I made a mess up of the sequence, getting everything in the right order, and I could see everybody watching me on the campsite. They watch each other as they come in, you see. So I remember my embarrassment trying to put this thing together. I did some help from fellow campers in the end. So, you know, and then, so what we did in the end was we set up, you know, when a plane takes off, they check flaps and check this and check that. We have a big list and say, aerial down, ramps up, you know, disconnect water, disconnect power, etc. Because a couple of times I forgot. I drove off with the aerial up once and it wrecked it. It took me a week to fix the aerial. Another time I forgot to put the ramps up and we had to call the road people to come and jack me up so I could unjam the ramp. So this became quite necessary, this checklist, because it's easy to forget to put the steps up or put something away and go off and leave unprepared. So another time we were driving to our second site. I wanted to take a shortcut, so I went down this bumpy road, pretty too fast actually, and the TV that was attached above my head over the dashboard there flew past me and crashed down the aisle, and then the fridge opened and all the stuff poured out. And it was me trying to tell Lisa on the two-way what had happened. All she could hear was fallen down TV. So that was an absolute shambles. So these accidents did happen, you know. And then another time, I cracked my head open when I was fixing something on the awning, and I put a big inch or several inches split on my head, and the blood was pouring all down my face, and I was saying, "Get a rag!" And Lisa came rushing out, and I was worried about blood getting over my tools. But she grabbed me and the dogs and raced off to doctor's surgery. And there I was standing there, dripping blood all over their floor, and they had to grab me, take me to the surgery, and put in 10 stitches. So those sort of things do happen, you know. Not all tea and roses.
Yep. I like that. Not all were tea and roses. Your stories are very, very funny, which is why people listening should get this book, because this is about life. And we're speaking with John Timms, who's written this book really through his wife, who talked about all their adventures and sent them off to her friends, as we're mentioning here. And the name of the book is Should I Go Walkabout in Australia, A Motorhome Adventure. Did you have a favorite place? Was there some place that you arrived in? Because you went all over Australia, and we know it's a big country. Was there a favorite place for both of you?
As far as I'm concerned, Northern Territory, because of the remoteness of it, the colours of the rocks, and it had a vibrancy. You could feel it. Just like Uluru, you could feel it. It's got a certain vibrancy about it, and the colours are fantastic. And, of course, the remoteness. I I mean, America's got the same spaces where you can stand there and the distance screams at you. The noise is so deafening. It's, you know, silence is so deafening. It's quite extraordinary. And sometimes in Northern Territory, it was like we were driving on the moon. There's no features, nothing. No cars, no bends in the road, no trees. I thought, I could be driving on the moon here. This is crazy. And we'd argue about how many cars we'd seen all day.
Wow.
The remoteness is quite fascinating. I think Lisa loved the New South Wales coast because it's so extraordinary beaches and headlands. And after a while, you get a lot of blasé because of the scenery. And this headland is more beautiful than the next one. And then you find these little villages tucked away, you know, with all built in timber. And it's a beautiful countryside. And so it's hard to say favourite places, really. I'd say Northern Territory and West and the Northern New South Wales coast. Apart from Queensland, of course. I mustn't knock Queensland because that's where we lived for 40 years. We're back in England. We came back to England now for family reasons, but we were in Australia for over 40 years.
Right, so you know the areas. So obviously then, for people who haven't been to Australia or people who have but haven't had the chance to be there as long as you have, one of the things that's interesting sometimes is the encounters with wildlife. Did you have any of that, any roo adventures?
Well, one time the dogs tried to get out. We had two dogs. So in back of a ute, we had a Toyota ute with a canopy on the back. But that was their kennel. And one time we were driving down a country road, and there was all this whole pack of kangaroos were running around. And Callie, she wanted to get out and chase them. And we were terrified because she got out and chased them. We would have lost her because they would have gone off over the countryside, and she would have followed them, and we would have lost her. So, another time I was playing golf, and my ball landed in the middle of the fairway, and there was a big roo standing there, defending his females, and he stood up and he wanted to box me. I thought I'd better leave the golf ball there. Another time, I played golf, and the ball landed beside a creek, but I noticed there was a crocodile watching me. So I thought, you're only a small one, but I'm not going to give him a chance, thank you. So I walked, I left the ball there. I wasn't going to worry.
I love it.
And another time, we were told about these. You can feed these stingrays. Actually, the big, you know how big they are. They're quite big.
Yeah.
And we were told to wash a woman's beach. And the fisherman always leaves some fishing trails in a bucket, and you take them out, and you go to the beach, and they come up, and you feed them. So that's what I did. There's a picture of me actually feeding the stingrays in the book one. And they're quite large, and they're very smooth texture. You can stroke them after you fed them, and they seem to be very thankful. So that was another new, you know, so I've come across crocodiles, stingrays, and kangaroos, aplenty on that trip.
Wow.
On the civil trip, actually.
Wow. You encountered some wildlife, so obviously we don't want to give it all away because I think these adventures are pretty exciting. But the name of the book is Should I Go Walk About in Australia, A Motorhome Adventure. John Timms, as we wrap this up, what do you think Lisa would think of this book being out?
Well, I think she'd be pretty happy that I've taken the trouble. But she's having the efforts of hers are out in black and white, you know. Even if only a few people read it, I've sold a few on the internet, not that many. But there's only a few people, and I sold a few around the Friends of Friends, so people read her words. I'm sure she'd be very happy, yes.
Well, I love that sentiment, and you were very, very funny, and what you said, the distance screamed at us in the Northern Territory, just rings out to me. Pick up this book on Amazon, Should I Go Walk About in Australia, Motorhome Adventure. John, thank you so much.
Okay.
Cubo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. So it naturally has antifungal, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-infection, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. But maybe more importantly, the Cubo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea builds corpuscles in the blood which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer happens to die in oxygen. The tea is great for healthy people, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. Dehebo Tea Club's original pure Pau de Arco Super Tea is only $34.95 plus shipping. Order now at DrinkSuperTea.com or call 818-965-9113. That's DrinkSuperTea.com, 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. And the IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
Right, you have my attention if you work with political satire, especially when you do it well. And I found someone who is doing it well. He's written a novel called Executive Target. Pete Beyer is in our virtual green room, and he's the guest here on Author's Corner. Hey, Pete, how are you?
Very good, Catherine. Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Okay, here's what we got to reveal this, because this is radio. We got to paint the picture. I want everyone to be jealous right now of Pete, because you are there at the beach. And people don't understand that the beach in New Jersey is beautiful, right?
Well, I'm in Manasquan, and I'm actually about 150 feet from the beach walk in Manasquan, which is an asphalt path that functions as a boardwalk. So I'm every night or every morning taking a walk or a run along the Atlantic Ocean. So it's the off season, so it's not crowded, but all the restaurants and shops and bars are open. So it's the best of both worlds this time of year.
Yeah, good place to go, no question about it. Great place to write, too. So tell us about Executive Target. How'd you come up with this idea?
Well, Executive Target is a political satire. I'm certainly interested in politics, and I follow it, but I don't consider myself a political junkie. As a first-time author, I thought a political satire would be a good way to kind of get my name out there. and make something of a splash. And the book is written as a, the general plot is that the president of the United States is subject to a blackmail plot by a progressive newspaper, and is also the subject of a concurrent but unrelated plot by a domestic terrorist group. And everything winds up and culminates in Phoenix. And the book takes place in the very near future. And reviewer on Amazon says that the book obviously leans to the right, and it is. I'm a conservative person, and I poke a lot of fun at Democrats and progressives, but I also make fun of Republicans too. So it is a political satire that leans somewhat to the right, but there's enough in there for either side of the political spectrum to enjoy.
Yeah, and they say you write about what you know, and you said you're not a political junkie, but you follow it, and you obviously do. If people read the book, they'll see that. How'd you come up with these characters, though? Because that's the fun part, designing the characters and coming up with a plot.
Well, I'm from New Jersey, as you mentioned, and people from New Jersey who get this book and read it will recognize a lot of the personalities that I mentioned and the places that I mentioned. But in terms of the characters, I try to, in order to attract readers, I use a broad spectrum of characters. There's a black Secret Service agent. There's a evangelical minister from the South. There are Jews and Christians. There are straight and gay people. I mean, I cover a broad spectrum of people. So I hope that's one of the reasons that the book will be, that people will be attracted to the book. And there's good and bad on both sides. There's sympathetic characters and not sympathetic characters. So there are four or five main characters, but there's a lot of less central characters who people will also be attracted to. And that's the purpose of... Go ahead.
What was the fun part about writing this? I mean, because I can tell you're juiced and jazzed about it. You got this down. What was the fun part for you?
Well, I found in thinking about this interview today, when you get the book, there's an epilogue that there are four brief sections of the epilogue that introduce four of the main characters. And then there's the last three or four chapters lead up to the culmination of the book, which occurs, as I mentioned, in Phoenix. And then there's a prologue that is two months after the ending of the book. And again, there's another description of the four main characters 2 months in the future. And I think it nicely ties up what happened in the book. And you can see who the winners were and who the losers were and how much the winners didn't win that much and the losers didn't lose that much. But it's a political satire. It's not a book that there are people injured or maimed. It's not a book that's calling for a revolution in the country. It's not a book that's saying Trump should go to jail or that Bernie Sanders is a communist. It's a book that pokes fun at the political spectrum, and that's what I enjoyed about the book.
All right, you can pick up the book on Amazon. Executive Target is the name of it. We're speaking to Pete Beyer about his novel. So you know, you're a retired attorney. You decide you're going to write this book. As you said, it was your first foray into it. What do the people around you say about the book?
Well, I shared it with many friends, and I self-published in the sense that I hired a company that, when I finished writing the book in a Word document, I sent it to them, and they published the hard copy. They formatted the book for ebook distribution. But I've had to do a lot of the marketing, or some of the marketing myself, and I've hired a marketing company. But, of course, I've reached out to friends and relatives and people I played rugby with in college and law school, and people, my neighbors and so forth. And I've gotten very positive feedback from people on both sides of the spectrum. I mean, in northern New Jersey, Kate, I don't think you've been around in a while, but northern New Jersey is a largely Democratic part of the state. And even my Democratic friends have enjoyed the book. And I've gotten feedback from friends, and now I'm looking to get feedback from people who don't know me, which is part of the reason I'm on your show.
Yeah. Yeah, so more people can find out about the book. And, you know, you talked about what happens a little bit, gave us a taste of the story. And how'd you decide to wrap things up sort of in the desert?
Well, I've been to Phoenix several times, and I try to write what I know about, so I make reference to a specific park there. The president goes for a hike in a park out in the Phoenix area that I'm familiar with from hiking there on vacations with my family. And I thought Phoenix was just, although I, as I mentioned earlier, the president is from New Jersey. I make reference to New Jersey. There are characters from all over the country in the book. So I picked Phoenix as an area that I like to visit and that I could describe with some specificity because I've been there myself.
Yeah, what was more fun? What's more fun, being an attorney or writing this book?
This book is definitely much more fun. I was an attorney for over 30 years, and I enjoyed it. But I was in a small law firm where two of the attorneys had heart attacks and died.
Oh.
One on a business trip. One right in the office, and one was my best friend, and one of them was 2 years older than me, one was 2 years younger than me, and I decided the firm closed down, and when I was deciding what I was going to do next, I had this book. I was actually working on the book back then. I'd spend, you know, a half hour at lunch or some time on the weekends writing down notes and drafts, but I decided to do this full time. I also do some web content writing for law firms. Working on this book throughout 2018 was the focus. And now the book was published in May of 2018,
yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
What do you hope people take away from reading Executive Target, your novel?
Well, this is a political satire. This is not a book that, and intentionally, it doesn't have an underlying message that we have to reform democracy in this country or we have to, you know, we have to solve the climate crisis in 5 years or we're all going to die. It's not a book like that. The book is meant to entertain. And I just hope that people find it humorous and they get a laugh out of it and maybe it makes them think a bit. I don't think the book would appeal to people who are on the extreme edges of the political spectrum, but people who are in the middle, and the so-called experts tell us most Americans are in the middle, would enjoy the book. Whether you lean left or lean right, there's something in there for you. So I enjoyed writing the book with that in mind. And again, I'm not suggesting that we have to make changes today or we're all going to die. It's a satire, and it's meant to entertain people.
Yeah, that's a perfect place to end this and sum it all up. Pete Beyer, Executive Target, is the name of the novel. You can get it on Amazon and wherever great books are sold. Pete, thanks so much.
Okay, thank you for having me on your show.
Shot at in Mexico, 100 drinks at a well-worn bar with some shady-looking characters in Vegas, riding a bike from Dallas to Seattle on a bet, scribbling the words dungeon on a napkin while two passengers next to you on a plane wonder, what the heck does that mean? I'm Kate Delaney, and what does this have to do with my success, and why do you care? It's part of my journey that I want to share with you in my new book, Deal Your Own Destiny. Luckily now I can laugh at some of what seemed like utter disasters at the time. Can any of you relate? That's exactly what you'll discover by reading my book. I picture you on a boat, beach, or relaxing in the backyard, laughing out loud until you rupture your spleen. Well, hopefully not. While pulling out some seriously rare and secret stuff. Doesn't matter what you do or where you are right now. Anyone in any walk of life can use what I learned in my years of crisscrossing around the United States pursuing my dreams. So what do you want to get out of life? Happiness? Contentment? Why are you here? Pick up my book, Deal Your Own Destiny, at Amazon.com.